Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Nun Tes. We are on the very bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Let's see today if we could finish the parak. We started yesterday the parak, the eighth parak of Masechta Nida, which deals with one topic only, and that's Kesem. Shmuel made a statement that in order for a woman to become a Nida, not only does she need to have a discharge of blood, but with a sensation, with a bodily sensation. Yesterday we explained that there are at least two ways to understand this bodily sensation, perhaps even a third way as well. But the two basic ways is the Tosa said in the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Dalet that the hargasha that's being described over here is psichas hamakor, right? The opening up of the cervix is the bodily sensation that she's experiencing when the woman becomes a nida. Rambam writes is nizdazer kol gufo, that the woman's body is going to shake, it's going to shudder, perhaps something like cramps. So these are the two basic explanations of what a hargasha is. And a woman only becomes a nida when she not only has a re'ias dam, but she also has a hargasha that accompanies along with it. Shmuel says this, and he says it very definitively. He gives an unusual scenario. If you remember yesterday in the Gemara, the scenario that he says is that a woman sat down on the ground. She checked the ground before she sat down on it. She sat down on the ground, and then she gets up and she finds blood. She is tahora. She is totally pure. Shenamar, then he quotes a pasuk b'vsara, achatargish b'vsara, until she has a hargasha on her basar. That is the opinion of Shmuel. The Gemara attacked Shmuel yesterday. We went through four different mishnayos throughout Masechta Nida, which seemed to go against Shmuel, because what we find is that a woman becomes a Nida, even though there was no hargasha, there was no bodily sensation. So what we learned yesterday is that there are many things that could mask the sensation of her becoming a Nida. So as an example, yesterday we said that if a woman's urinating, so that'll mask the sensation. If she does an internal examination, that'll mask the sensation. And if she's having relations with her husband, that also will mask the sensation. So to that, the Gemara basically says is that it's possible that the woman had a sensation, but because she was experiencing something else at the time, so therefore it could be that it could very well be that she's a Nida. Okay, how far did we get to yesterday? That's a quick summary of what we saw yesterday. Amar Mar. I'll tell you what, let's take just a small step backwards. Tashma. Okay, we're going to go over that fourth proof again. Okay, we're in the Gemara, we're about 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud. First word in the line is Shama Shavav Tashma. The Gemara now is going to bring another question against Shmuel. Nim Seis Ata Omer, you find Gimel Sfeikos B'isha. There are three Sfeikos when it comes to a woman. Abisara. If she finds a stain on her body, Suffik Tami, Suffik Tahor, possibly, she's Tami, possibly she's Tahor, meaning she doesn't know where that blood has come from, so Tami, so she's Tami. Al Chaluka, she finds it on her clothing, Suffik Tami, Suffik Tami, Suffik Tahor, Tahor. So on her clothing, she's Tahor. Uvimagoz, Vesetos, Halacha Charov. Now, if she touches an item, or she moves an item, so then go after the majority. So what does that mean? You remember we saw this yesterday. Mahalacha charov, lavim rov yameh tameh tameh ve'afagav de la argisha. Presumably what rov means is that, let's say for the majority of her day, she's a nida. Meaning on an average month, more often than not, she's a nida than not being a nida. As we pointed out yesterday, that's bizarre. It's a little bit strange. A woman is typically not a nida more than she is a nida. Okay, but the Gemara says perhaps that's what the Brice is dealing with over here. And the question, of course, is that, well, how could she not know? She doesn't know because she didn't experience a hargasha. And meanwhile, the Brice says very clearly that she's tummy, and anything she touches is going to be tummy. The Gemara says, lo, imrov yameh bargasha chazi, tumeh de'emar hargasha v'la v'adaitai. So the Gemara's answer to that was, well, maybe what happened is that she had the hargasha, but she forgot about having the hargasha. I suggested yesterday, I posited that maybe, and it's a strange suggestion of the Gemara, she had the hargasha, but she didn't pay much mind to it. Meaning, isn't the whole point of a hargasha is that it is a bodily sensation and it's acute and she's going to feel it? So I suggested yesterday that maybe for this particular woman, who's basically more often a nida than not a nida, so maybe for her she got so used to that hargasha that, yeah, for her perhaps she just totally loses touch with the pain. Amamar Abisara, Safik Tami, Safik Tara Tami. Achaluka, Safik Tami, Safik Tara Tara. Now, the Gemara quoted the Braisa, so there's an interesting point to draw out from this Braisa, and that's the following. The Braisa says that if the stain is on her body, she's Tame, and if it's on her clothing, she's Tahor. Right? What? So Hechidami. So the Gemara says, well, let's go over this. Imechagor Lamata. Excuse me. If it's below the belt, so al chaluka my tar. So as we pointed out, if you find a stain below the belt, so that means that it's very possible that it can come from her private area. So then we said in the Mishnah, the first thing we learned in this parak is she's tameh, she's tameya. V'hatanai menachagor lamata tameh. V'imechagor ulamala. Now if it's above the belt, so al basara my tameh. We also learned in our Mishnah that if she finds blood on her body, on her physical body, so if the blood is found in a place where it probably didn't come from her Beis HaTorfa, so then she's Tahora. So how can the Braisa tell us, well, if the blood's found on her clothing, she's Tamea, and if the blood's found on her, sorry, if the blood is found on her clothing, she's Tahora, and if the blood's found on her body, she's Tamea. How can the Braisa make that distinction? So, So the Gemara says we can attack this Braisa from one of two ways. Look, it could very well be that the blood was found below the belt. And it could also be that the blood's found on her clothing and we'll say it's okay. Meanwhile, if the blood's found on her body, we'll say, no, that's not okay. If she goes through the butcher's market, now going through the butcher's market was messy. Blood splattering everywhere. Nowadays, the butcher is a very aesthetic, it's a very clean place. It's not like in the good old days. They were killing animals, at the butcher shop. So, al b'sara migufa asai, di'ime ama asai, achuluka mi'bay leish tekuche, achuluka mi'ama asai, di'ime gufa asai, al b'sara mi'bay leish tekuche. So now, if she's going through the butcher, and after walking through the butcher, she finds blood in her clothing, okay, so in other words, she understands. There's a very good chance that that blood came from the butcher. But if she finds blood on her body, she didn't reveal her body at the butcher shop. So the stronger argument now to make is that the blood came from her. Fine. Or we can also explain that this Bryce is talking about where the blood was found above the belt. Kagon di izdakra al basara. Sorry, kagon di izdakra. The woman over here, she did a somersault. Right? A backflip. From Rashi, it sounds more like a backflip than a somersault. Now, if she finds the blood on her body, well, where did that blood come from? It probably came from her. Because had the blood come from an outside source, the blood should have been found on her clothing. Meanwhile, if the blood's found on her clothing, so then it probably comes from an outside source. Okay, good. Ketani mias. Now, after all said and done, meaning we had to deal with what was the story with Rove, and we had to deal with how can we make a distinction between finding blood on her body versus blood on her clothing. And now, after all said and done, ketani mias abasara safik tami safik tar tame v'alfa gav de la argasha. But meanwhile, one of the points that the Braisa made very clearly is that if blood is found on her body, she is tameh. Now, if she finds the blood and it just kind of popped out of nowhere, that means she didn't have a hargasha. And meanwhile, the Braisa says she's tameh. And how do you work that with Shmuel? Because Shmuel says that without a hargasha, a woman's tahor. V'afagav yilo hargasha v'otanan. And furthermore, Haroa kesam al basara kenege beis haTorfa tameya. And finally, and this is the reason why the entire discussion is placed over here, is because Shmuel's rule seems to be violated by our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if a woman finds a stain on her body, and it's an area where it's a strong possibility that it came from a private area, it's a menstrual discharge, so she's tameya. Now, our Mishnah is clearly describing a woman didn't have a hargasha. If she had the hargasha, she would understand Our Mishnah's case is where she didn't have Hargasha. So, considering all that, how do you understand Shmuel? So now we get to some very important lines of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yirmi, Amidifti, Modi Shmuel, Shehi Tamei Amid Rabbanan. So answer number one of the Gemara is the following. Shmuel agrees that when a woman sees a kesem, she discovers a kesem, and Shmuel says she's Tahora, so what Shmuel means is she's Tahora min HaTorah. According to strict Torah law, she is not Anida, because in order to be Anida, you need to have Hargasha. But, she is going to be Tamei Amid Rabbanan. And now, the truth of the matter is that you can go back and revisit every single Mishnah Braisa that we went through, and now with this answer of the Gemara, really, there won't be a problem whatsoever. Meaning, a kesem makes a woman a nida midrabanan. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rav Ashi Amar, Shmuel Huda Amar Rabbi Nechemya. Now, answer number two doesn't necessarily disagree with answer number one. Right? The two answers can coexist. Shmuel subscribes to the rule of Rabbi Nechemya. Dit nan, what is the rule of Rabbi Nechemya? We're going to see this, God willing, tomorrow. And the rule is that Rabbi Nechemya Amar called off a shein mekabel tumah in a mekabel ksamim. If an item is not mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel a kesem. Now, what that means is the following. As I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, Shmuel gave an unusual case. What was Shmuel's case? A woman checked the ground before she sat down on the ground, got up, and she finds blood on the ground. A stain. Correct. That's exactly the point. Karka is not mekabel tumah. There is no kabasa tumah by karka. So when the woman walks up and gets away and she takes a look back and she sees that there was blood where she was sitting, well, she didn't feel it, so there was no hargasha. And moreover, furthermore, the ground is not mekabel tumah. So in other words, that kesem was not mitame the ground. And Tosfos says over here, what's the thought, what's the rationale behind Rabbi Nechemya? It's the first Tosfos on the Amud. The time of the Rebbe Nechemya came into Davashe HaKesem Bo Tahor Gam Ala Isha Lo Gazru. Look, this whole idea of Kesem is a Gzera Derabbanan. It's rabbinic legislation. The rabbis only legislated that a Kesem makes a woman Tamei if the Kesem affects something else. But if the Kesem doesn't affect something else, it also won't affect the woman. So if it lands on the ground certainly is not Tamei. The ground does not become Tamei, neither does the woman. That's how Tosfos argues and explains this principle of Reb Nechemya. So, and by the way, accepted la halacha that in order for a woman to become tamei, the kesem has to land on something which it itself could be mekabel tumah. Now, Bishlam Rav Ashi Hainu de Kamar Karka. Now, for Rav Ashi's standpoint, there are basically now two answers to our question. Question is, I mean, there really were a series of questions. Questions is, we find many mishnayos and braisos that make a woman tamei. Even if there was no hargasha. So answer number one is that Shmuel's statement was only min haTorah. But min haRabbanan, the woman's going to be a Tameya. And answer number one was provided to us by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Midifti. And the second answer given by Rav Ashi is that Shmuel's case was very specific in that the kesem was found on something which is not mekabel tumah.
Yeah. What if she finds a kesem on a piece of cloth that doesn't belong to her in front of her?
Wait. Your question will be answered directly. Bisham la Rav Ashi Hainu de Kamar Karka la Rav Yirmiyah Mai Irya Karka Afilu Glima Nami. So the Gemara analyzes these two answers, and the Gemara says, you know, I like Rav Ashi's answer a lot, because Rav Ashi's answer fits with the exact scenario that Shmuel gave. Shmuel gave a case where the blood was found on something which is not mekabel tumah. And from Rav Ashi's standpoint, you understand very well why he gave that specific case. But, according to Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, why did Shmuel talk about blood finding on the ground? Because according to Rav Yirmiyah Midifti, Shmuel could have given any scenario whatsoever. So the Gemara says like this, let me buy glima. So what Rav Yirmiyah will tell us is the following. You know, Shmuel's example over here is blood found on the ground. I'll tell you why he gives that specific example. Because clothing, you know, you find stains on clothing all the time. And the stain could have come from so many different sources, and we'll talk more about that over the course of this morning. But blood on the ground, it's unusual, and she did an examination of the ground before she sat down on the ground. So now let me ask you. She checked the ground before she sat down on the ground.
Huh? Why is she checking the ground?
I don't know. I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. She checked the ground. She sat down. She got up. She found blood. I mean, where else did the blood come from? Meaning here, if anything, the argument you can make is, no, this is probably hers. So what Shmuel wanted to do and give this unusual scenario is say that even in this case, where there is more of an argument that you can make, that the blood comes from her and not from somewhere else, but still, there was no hargasha, she didn't feel it, so therefore, Shmuel wanted to say that even in this unusual case, she's still going to be tahara.
Especially if it's like the bright red blood that's fresh.
Yeah, correct,
It's not dry, so you can say it's just...
Correct, absolutely correct. Now, we go back to our Mishnah, and we analyze some points of our Mishnah. We said that a woman finds blood either on her heel or on her big toe. Now, Bishlam Akeva Avidanagibo Samakam. Now, heel, you can understand, because right now the Gemara is thinking that, look, it's everything right now is attribution, meaning that it's a question of, can we make a direct line from her makom, from her private area, to where the blood was found? So heel, the Gemara says, I get it. It's possible that the heel touched her base hatorfa. El Roshko Odla Maitaima. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand big toe. It's not physically possible for the big toe to touch her oso hamakom. V'chitem azimnen denaga ba'akeva. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could do a two-step. And here I almost mean it literally. Almost. And the two-step would be, well, maybe the heel touched the private area, blood transferred from the private area to the heel, and as she's walking, so then the blood went from the heel to the toe, meaning from one foot to the other foot, heel touched the toe. So the Gemara says, as a rule, we don't do that. We don't make Tumah jump from one place to another. We had this discussion earlier, the Masechta. The Gemara over here quotes it, Umimechaskin to me memakum mamakum vatanya, Haisalamakab Tavra, Shetucha litlos tola, Aktefashina Yholosainatola. If she finds blood on her neck, so where she could be tola. Okay, it's unusual. I mean, Rashi tries to explain how it's possible for the blood to go from the base of torfa to the neck. But anyway, it's a little...
Near her hand.
Right. But if it's found on her shoulder, where the blood's not coming from her shoulder, so enotola. Now, what we don't say is the following. Well, maybe her hand touched the area, her hand had the blood, and then maybe she kind of just like scratched her shoulder, and so maybe the blood went from her private area to her hand to her shoulder. Elishani Rosh Gadol. I'm sorry. So we don't do that, meaning as a rule, as a basic rule, we don't do that. So in other words, there has to be a direct line from the Oso HaMakom to wherever you find the blood. So the Gemara gives the answer. I suggested this already yesterday. Elishani Rosh Gadol Devahad Depasavid Demisrame. So the Gemara says, okay, the big toe, here's what's happening. She's walking. And what happens is that the blood drips directly from the Oso HaMakom to the big toe. Meaning it wasn't that the toe actually touched the Oso HaMakom, but, in other words, you can understand, with a simple walking pattern and gravity just simply pulling the blood down, so the blood just dripped on her big toe. It's really that simple. The Gemara quotes a brisa that says, what if she finds blood on the kishre etzba'osav, on the backs of her fingers? So brisa says she's tame. Why? Yadayim askanios. Because your hands just wander. So my time, the Gemara at this point makes a proposal. Well, maybe she touched it with her front of her hand, and then she kind of wiped it on the back of the other hand. The Gemara says, "Lo shani yada de kula vida de naga." The Gemara says, "No, that's not the explanation. The explanation is very simple. Yadayim askanios, your hands wander. So it is possible that the back of the hand touched the oso hamakom." Now, remember back in the mission we said that if she finds blood on her body, so then it depends where in the body it's found. If it's found on the inner thigh, says the Mishnah, she's Tamea. If she's found on the outer thigh, she's Tahara, front and back of the leg, what did the Mishnah say? She's tahora. Now, when we're trying to give a more precise definition of what the inner thigh is, makom chevek. What it seems to be is the place where they actually touch, meaning when the legs are close together, the area where the legs touch one another. That's the inner thigh. Ibailu makom chevek lefnim kolachutz. So the Gemara says now, the last place where it makes contact, right, the border, so to say, is that inner or is that outer? Tashma did never have ketina ad makom chevek vechevek atzmo kilifnim. The outer border where the thighs are touching one another is kilifnim. Rav Chia ben Raviva masin la behedja amr debe Rav Yana ad makom chevek vechevek atzmo kilifnim. Some have it that this is part of the teaching of Rav Yana by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking questions. That's what he does. His questions are piercing. His questions are always tricky. By Rav Yirmiyah, kishir mau. Now, what if I find the blood in a configuration? Yeah. Now, the Gemara is going to give a number of examples of how the blood is found. Meaning, in a normal circumstance, she is menstruating. The blood is running down her leg. What you normally would expect to find is a blood running in a vertical pattern, meaning up and down the leg. You know, in some...
Dripping down.
Right, dripping down. So what we're going to now... he's going to ask are scenarios in which the blood is found in some sort of unusual shape.
Very correct.
So number one, kashir. Kashir means it's circular. And not only is it circular, but the inside of it is... does not have... It Rashi describes it as being like a bracelet. Okay? It's like a donut. Kishura mahu. Kishura literally means a beam. Tosos explains kishura over here means drips. Drips. Tipin. Tipin mahu, larocha v'yirecha mahu. Instead of a vertical drop, it's found a horizontal line across her leg. Okay, mahu. Tashma, abisara, safiktame, tame. Abisara, my love, ki agavna, lo demodavi kiritsua. So the Gemara says, when it's found on our basar, so the Gemara says, isn't it talking about a case where you find it in any shape? And the Gemara says, no. When it says abisara, back in the braisa, it means found in the traditional vertical line.
Is there basar considered like Yush Hayafe?
Well, that's a good question. In just a moment, I'm going to raise also a very fundamental issue. Just give me a moment. A woman found blood, and she found blood b'mishtisa, on a thread, on the warp of the thread, right? There's the shesi and there's the erev. So also coming to Rav Yana, I'm like, tells of a taste. Now he goes to the question is brought to Rav Yana. Now Rav Yana basically says like this: look, I don't know exactly how it is that when you work the loom and you're working with the warp and the woof and the shesi and the erev, I don't know if it's directly over your private area. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to reenact the case. Okay. If this is the first example in history of instant replay, I want you to reenact the case and let's see what were to happen. So the Gemara says Vatanya Shonim Taharos, and who were to think that the Gemara is against instant replay? I know it's very controversial. It's a hot debated issue, but the Gemara is against it. The Gemara says Ain Shonim Taharos, meaning do not reenact because who knows. It's really the same thing. Who knows? Who knows if you reenact, you're going to reenact it in the same way? Meaning, it's not going to tell you about what happened historically. It's just not going to help us in terms of information. So, the Gemara says, okay, Rav Yana is still right. Meaning, Rav Yana is correct in asking her to reenact. Yes, it's true that we have a general rule, ain't shonim betaharos, that we don't reenact. But that's only to arrive at a leniency. But to arrive at a stringency, which is what Rav Yana essentially is going to do, because there's blood, and he wants to know, Did the blood come from a private area? And was the loom directly in the line of fire, so to say? So he says, to arrive at a chumrah, that reenactment would help. Haisa poshta so. Now, let's do this now. Okay. The Gemara just went through a discussion about finding blood on her body, and it depends. In other words, if the blood's found in the line of fire, so then she's a nida, again, midrabanan, but if it's found not in the line of fire, outside the leg, on the upper portion of her body, so then she's tahara. And then what the Gemara did by quoting Rabbi Yirmiyah is ask a series of questions. Well, what if the blood is found in a particular shape? It's found drops, it's found circular, it's found horizontal, not vertical. And it's interesting because, as we will learn later this morning, in order for a woman to be Tamea, she needs to find a kesem, but not just a kesem, but the size and the area of a gris. Okay, which is approximately the equivalence of a penny, of an American penny. And if she finds a stain larger than a gris, she's Tamea. If she finds a stain smaller than a gris, she's Tahora. And the reason why, as we'll discuss later this morning, is because if it's smaller than a gris, we can easily ascribe this blood to a little bug, a louse. And it's possible, in other words, it's interesting, it's not the best explanation, but it's possible to suggest that this blood comes from a louse, and the fact that it's smaller than a gris means, yeah, it's a plausible explanation that the blood comes from a louse, and therefore she's tahora. And basically, that's really going to be the criteria to determine whether she's okay, she's tahora, tamea, the size of the gris. And so, what bothers a number of Rishonim is, if the gris is really the end-all be-all of whether she's tamer or whether she's tahora, what was the discussion that we just had in our Gemara? Well, let's take a look at the shape. Let's see if it looks like a ring. Let's see if it looks like drips. Let's say what happens if it's not vertical, but rather it's horizontal. Why are we talking about the shape of the stain? Why not just simply give me its size, the size of the stain? And this is the Rishonim really struggle with this. And the Rambam writes the following. The Rambam says, because this leniency of size, meaning it being a gris or being less than a gris, is only true towards the clothing. That's only true if a stain is found on an article of clothing. But, writes the Rambam, if the blood is found on her body, there is no size limitation. Meaning that even the smallest amount of blood found on her body will make her a nida midrabanan. Will make her rabbinically a nida. So the Rambam says it's an important distinction of the Rambam between a kesem found on her body versus a kesem found on her clothing. Okay, and once you know that, then right from the Rambam standpoint, the Gemara makes now a lot of sense. Why is the Gemara talking about shape and not about size? Because the Gemara's whole discussion that it just had was on the woman's body, and being that it's on the woman's body, size no longer becomes an issue. Meaning we're always going to make her Tamea, and now the only question becomes, well, maybe its shape indicates that it didn't come from her. Okay. Right.
Is,
so,
is the chazaka there that, like, since it's on her body, it's less likely to be a louse than her own blood?
Something along those lines. Or that's more likely to have come from her. Something along those lines. Haisa poshtasa tanya amar rabbi Elazar rabbi Yossi davazer reisi biyarami leisor kushabati etzol chachamim shabedarim amar le yafei hareisi. The Gemara quotes the Brisa basically says correct, meaning if she took off the clothing and she slept in the clothing and she kind of used it as a blanket, so then all bets are off because you toss and you turn at night and the blanket and the blood can therefore be found anywhere on the clothing. And they went to the Chachmei Daron, the elders of the south. They're quoted often in the Gemara. I don't know who they are, but they say very good. Yafeh HaReisa. Tana Rabbanan Arucha Shalavsha Chaluka Shal Katsara. Uksar Shalavsha Chaluka Shal Arucha. The Gemara over here now talks about borrowing clothing from one another. And the Gemara paints a very funny scenario where a tall girl is borrowing clothing from a short girl and vice versa. So obviously, the area of below and above the belt are going to be different for the two of them, obviously. So, im migia keneged beis atorfa shal arucha, Shteim Tameos. V'im lav. Now, if it could be, if this area where the blood is found, meaning, so blood is found on the clothing, they both women wore it at one point. So, if it's possible that this would be above the belt for the tall one, and it certainly is going to be above the belt for the short one, so Shteim Tameos. V'im lav arucha torah k'sar tamea. However, if this only would be a below the belt for the short woman, but not for the tall woman, so then the tall woman would be tahor, and the short woman would be tameh. Tanya idach vatra chaluka vishatra chaver tehitar vechaver tetolaba. The Gemara quotes another braisa, a borrowed garment, and the garment was where after when the first woman gave it to the second woman, she says, "Hold on one second." She checks it, she examines it. It's good. It's clean. Okay. Now she hands it over to the second woman. Second woman finds a stain on it. The braisa says, what can the second woman do? Tola. Eh, you know what? The stain belonged to the first woman.
Has she worn it yet?
She wore it. The second woman wore it. So tola ba. So she's tola. Now the Gemara, now think about it for a moment before we go on to the Gemara. Well, that's strange. Meaning the first woman did an examination. She checked the garment and she knows that it's not hers. So for the first woman being tahara, that's pretty obvious. How can the second woman now assign this blood to the first woman when there was an actual bedika being done on the clothing? Okay. Amar Rav Sheshes Ule Inyan Dina Tanan. Our Mishnah is only talking about who's got to pay the dry cleaner. That's the only discussion of the Braisa. Meaning the second woman will say to the first woman, look, you're going to pay the dry cleaning. And it's a little bit strange, meaning, I know it's not our topic of discussion right now, but if the first woman, when she gave it to the second woman, she did check it.
Isn't she a shoel?
She was a shoel, yes.
A shoel doesn't imply that if you're a shoel, you're responsible for anything that could happen to the...
You're responsible for damages of the item. The item here is not damaged, it's just stained. Yeah, so
the person check herself or check the clothes?
Right. Essentially, Ben, what I'm about to ask is basically your question, meaning it was a little bit strange that the first woman did check it. So why does the second woman have to pay the dry? Why does the second woman not have to pay the dry clean bill? Right. Essentially, it's her stain. We're going to get back to just a moment the Nida aspect of it, but just why is she paying the dry clean? So if you take a look at the very bottom Rashi, the Amra Achrona, the last words of Rashi are. Lo mehemtali da'at bat kaseh. Meaning, wait a second. I didn't check it. You checked it. This is a conversation that the borrower is having with the owner. You checked it, but not me. So in other words, and I only, the only argument that we're making now is that well, I checked it, therefore you should clean it. Yeah, but I didn't check it. And now I got to clean it based on your testimony. So, right. So that is the argument that the second woman makes in terms of why she doesn't have to foot the cleaning bill. But anyway, but let's go back to our topic. Our topic is who's Anida? So the answer is neither. So Avalinyan, I'm sorry. Not what I just said is incorrect. Avalinyan tuma hi tar vechaver tetameya. But in terms of who's Anida, second woman's Anida. Yeah. Because the first woman did do an examination of the clothing. Clothing was not, was fine when it was handed over to the second woman. So the second woman, therefore, has no right to simply say, it's not mine. The blood did not belong to me. Women were working with a bird. And the each woman, after working with a bird, found a large stain on the clothing. Each one found a stain the size of a sella. But the bird in question was an extraordinarily small bird, and the maximum amount of blood that this bird could have produced is one sella. And each one of them found a sella on their clothing. They're both tamei. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam Dika Sella Yisera. There the Gemara says, okay, you have an unaccounted amount of blood. And so therefore, what are we supposed to do? If we have an unaccounted amount of blood, each woman has a sella on her, and the bird only produces one sella, okay, so both of them are going to be tamei. Tana Rabbanan, Lavsha Shlosha Chalukas Habadukos La. Im Yichon Litlos Tola Vafila Betachton, and Yichon Litlos in a Tola Fila Vafila Be'alion. Ketzar. Avra Beshuk Shotabachim Tola Vafila Betachton, La Avda Beshuk Shotabachim Af Be'alion Eno Tola. A woman's wearing layers. Here the Brisa describes a woman's wearing three layers, one over another, over another. Interesting. If she finds blood, even if it's on an inner garment, meaning on one of the layers that is inside, even if she finds blood there, but if she walks through the marketplace, if she walks through the butcher, she could be tola. As a plausible explanation, she could say, the blood came from the butcher, even though she didn't find blood on the outer layer of clothing. Now that's a little bit strange, meaning, look, we're looking for plausible explanations, but they do need to be plausible. If you take a look at Tosfos back on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, so Tosfos says, here, I'm going to try to give a little more plausibility to the story. And Tosfos says, look, when she's wearing layering of clothing,
which layer are we talking about, though?
Even the inner layer, a woman sometimes picks up an outer layer of clothing knowing that there's another layer underneath it. So therefore, it is a plausible explanation that she found blood on an inner layer of clothing as opposed to the outer layer of clothing. And therefore, if she's walking through Shuk Shel Tabachim, and after having walked, she only found blood on the inner clothing, still, as a plausible explanation, we could say it came from the marketplace. However, Tosfos writes that when it comes to her body, right? Remember, we said regarding her body, even if she walked through Shuk Shel Tabachim and she found blood on her body, that we're not going to be tola. Tosfos writes, I'll tell you why. Because she won't expose her body. Meaning, exposing an inner layer of clothing, that a woman would do. But exposing her body in a public area, that a woman won't do. And Tosfos says that's why, once the blood's found on her body, all bets are off. It has to be that it came from her. Says the Mishnah. Now, again, we're looking for plausible explanations. Remember, the starting point for the whole discussion is that when a woman finds blood on an article of clothing and there was no hargasha, so min hatorah she's not a nida. So now we're totally in the world of nida midrabanan, and therefore what the Mishnah is about to describe for us are, there are a lot of leniencies. If we can give some sort of plausible explanation, we absolutely will. If she was shechting, right? The woman was shechting, or she was just working with blood or blood stains, or she was sitting next to somebody who was working with blood stains. Or if she killed a louse, she could be tola. Ad kama tola. Now, up until what size a blood stain are we talking about? Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas Omer, ad kigris, up to the size of a louse, which again, grish or pull, which gris actually means a bean, right? Which again is about an area of a penny. The Alpha Pishalo Harga, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas says, and look, I'm going to attribute this blood to a louse, even if she didn't kill the louse, okay? Which is a big leniency, which is how we follow. Meaning that if a woman finds a stain on an undergarment, and the stain is less than the size of a gris, the woman is not anida. And if, let's say, her son is bleeding, or if her husband is bleeding, so, and she's, obviously she's within proximity, and she finds blood, she can be tola. If a woman, let's say, has a scab, right? She had a cut scabbed over, and then she finds blood on her clothing. So she can make attribution. Why? As long as it's possible that the scab could have been opened up, and there could have been more blood coming out of the scab. Rabbi Akiva, there's a Gemara tells the story of a woman who went to Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, and she says to him, Re'isi kesem, I found a blood stain. So Amar lo, Shem emaka isabayach. So Rabbi Akiva is now looking for a leniency. And what Rabbi Akiva says is, well, maybe he had a wound. So Amar lo, hein v'chaisa. She says, yeah, I had a wound, but it's scabbed over. So Amar lo, Shem yichol li'igal alotzi dam. Well, can you remove the scab? Can it bleed again? So Amar Lohain, so she says, yeah, it could happen. V'tihara Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, okay, you're good. You're not Anida, you're Tahara. Ra Tami Dav Mesakal Mezebezeh. Now Rabbi Akiva did this in front of his students. Imagine the woman would be slightly embarrassed that this entire conversation happened, not only with Rabbi Akiva, but with all the students watching. Okay, maybe he just simply shared the case with his students. So Amar Lohain, Ma Davar Kasha Beinechem. So Rabbi Akiva says to his students, relax. This isn't difficult. Shalo amru chachamim adav lahachmir, ela lahakel. Look, the chachamim didn't want to be machmir, they wanted to be mekel. Or, to be clear about what his point is, she's not a nida min haTorah, she's only a nida min haRabbanan. So if there's an area where we could be mekel, let's. Shenemar, v'isha kisi azav adam, yi azav abivsara. That a woman has a flow of blood, dam velo kesem, blood and not a kesem. Now, what we're supposed to understand this to mean is she didn't have a hargasha. Like I explained in the beginning of the perek, you're not going to see the word hargasha in the Mishnayos. Meaning, this is the closest thing we're going to get to, there was no hargasha. Right? There is dam velo kesem. Eishu nasan tachar akar, last case of the Mishnah, where she had an examination cloth. A woman examined herself. Let's say it was right after she had relations with her husband. And it was late at night. It's dark. So what did she do with the examination cloth? She put it under the pillow. Tomorrow morning I'll check it. Now, if she finds blood, but the blood's in the shape of a circle, she's okay. If it's smeared, so she's not okay. She's Tami. And these are the words of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. We'll come back to that later on. Rabbeir says that a woman was working with kilor, some sort of mineral that's red in color, and then she found a blood stain on her clothing, and Rabbeir says she's fine. Rabbi Talabisraf Shikman. Rabbi says she was working with the sap of sycamore, which apparently has a red color to it, and Rabbi said, and she found a blood stain on her clothing, and Rabbi said, you're fine. Oshi Yashva Yashva and Lo Yashva Lo Tani Lahad the Tanur Rabbanav Rabbeshuk Shal Tabachim Safik Nitaz Allah Safik Lo Nitaz Allah Tola. A woman walking through the marketplace. She was definitely in the marketplace. It was just a question of, did the blood splatter? So we don't know. We could be Mekel. However, Safik Avra Safik Lo Avra. However, she's not even sure if she walked through the marketplace today. Meaning, she walked home. Sometimes she walks to the marketplace, sometimes she doesn't. She finds a blood stain. She doesn't even know for sure she was there. So that's not enough. Not enough room for us to be Mako. Tamea, the woman's Tamea. Hargamar Choles. Now, the Mishnah over here clearly has a debate about whether she needs to kill a louse or she doesn't need to kill a louse. So Hargain La Hargalam Masitsa Mani Rav Shimon Gamliel Hi Detanya. Now, that line of the Mishnah belongs to Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara quotes a somewhat lengthy brisa. Harga tola, lo harga, eino tola, divrei, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that in order for us to be able to attribute this blood to a louse, she actually had to have killed the louse. The Chachamim omrim, bein kach vein kach tola. And the Chachamim say, no, you can always be tola, always. I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, divrei, in case lo divrei, chavrei, in self. Look, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, look, my position is too extreme, but so are the Chachamim. L'devarai en keit she'en l'cha isha shatar l'bala she'en l'cha komita mita she'en ba kama tipe dam ma'acholas. Look, every bed has got little bugs and little blood stains because of the bugs. So it comes out that, according to me, every woman will be a nida. Meaning, go to any woman's bed, and you're going to see little blood stains produced by the louse. Apparently, by the way, they had bad bug problems back in the good old days. So it comes down now for me. Every woman's going to be tamea. And ledevarei chaver ain't sof shein lecha isha shein atar labala shein lecha kosadim v'sadim shein bo kam ti bedam. But look, I'm admitting that my position is too extreme. But so are the chachamim, where they basically say every blood stain can be attributed to a louse, regardless of size. Can't be. So Ella, I'm sorry, Avalnir and Divrei Abichanina ben Tignos, midivrei umidivreihem. The moderate position is Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos, where he basically takes a compromised position, and he says Shaya Omer Ad Kami Tola I kegrisha Paul uledvarav anu modim. And he says, well, it depends. If the blood stain is less than a gris, you can be tola. If it's greater than a gris, you cannot be tola. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel acknowledges, yeah, that's the position which we all should take. Ule Rabbanan darmi tola ad kama. Now, even the extreme position of the Chachamim that say you can be tola, even if it's larger than a gris, there's gotta be a breaking point. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak tola bipish pesh the ad ketormos. So the Gemara over here describes some sort of bug. It's very large, and I don't exactly know its size, but okay. Tana Rabbanan pish pesh the arko karechva v'tama karecho and bris kruso lo shekol hamolal meriach bo. This pish pesh bug, we're going to make three statements. It's as long as it is wise. It's kind of like a. It has like a box shape to it, a square shape to it. It smells like it tastes, and all you need to do is rub it in your fingers, and you're going to smell it. Now, we're going to go over each one of these statements. Arka karech v'lim and k'samim. Meaning, because it has a square shape to it, its length is basically as big as its width, so therefore, if I find a k'samim in such a shape, we could say it's a pish-pish bug. Tamo karech v'lim truma d'nan. Oshetam tam pishpesh befiv hariz ye float. Right? You're eating some sort of produce and you're tasting the pishpesh bug. Yeah. Spit it out. It's a bug. You're not allowed to eat it. Now, mina yada tam karecho. Now, how do you know? Meaning, the Kohen is a religious man. The Kohen would never be eating the pishpesh bug. How would he know what it tastes like? So the Gemara says that's the second statement that we made. It tastes just like it smells. All you need to do is just simply rub it in your fingers and you'll smell it. So everybody knows what it smells like, therefore everybody knows what it tastes like. If you live in a city with pigs, pigs are messy, pigs are bloody, every kesem can be attributed to the pig. This city of Dokeres, many butchers, a lot of blood running around. It's like a city of pigs. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's just do a little bit more for this morning. I know we're in borrowed time. I've got me tola amar avuna kegris enotola pachos mechagris tola. Rav Chista amar kegris tola yoser mechagris enotola. The Gemara goes through it's one of its classic debates. What if it's exactly the size of a gris, the bloodstain that's found on the undergarment? Debate amongst the amarayim whether or not we could be mekel. So leim avad vad bechlal kamiflagi. The Ravuna savar ad velo ad bechlal. Rav Chista savar ad vad bechlal. Here the Gemara gives one of the most traditional machloksim that we have in the Gemara. When we say up to, we mean up to and including, or do we mean just up to but not including? Amlecha Rav Huna ika ad v'ad bechla v'ika ad v'lo ad bechla v'achol chomra v'achol chomra. So Rav Huna says, look, I don't have to take a stand. Meaning, sometimes up to including, sometimes up to not including. It's whichever will result in a chomra. Rav Chista amalecha ba'am emalecha l'chumra amrina l'kula lo amrinan v'ahacha k'derabi abao. And Rav Chista will argue, yeah, I agree with you, but not in this case. Da'am rabi abao kol she'iru chacham l'hachmir chutz mekugir shoksamim l'hakel. Here we're going to be meiko. Remember, a woman min haTorah is not an ida. It's only because of rabbinic legislation, and therefore the rabbis in this particular case have the right and ability to be meiko. Where if the stain is exactly the size of a gris, we'll be mekel. Igadarmi lala hashmaita bapi nafshe ravun amar kegris ki yasa mek a gris. Rav Chista amar kegris ke pachos mek a gris ve kamiflagi ba'ad v'ad dahacha ki da amrinan. And they're debating about the principle of ad v'ad bechal. Mesve. Hayu alav tipe damim lamata v'tipe damim lamala tola be'elyon ad kegris. She has numerous stains, small stains, large stains. You can be mekel up until you get to the point of a gris. So my love, kegris melamata, Now, when we say up to the gris, what does that mean? When you get to the stain that's exactly the size of a gris, doesn't that mean you could be makel? And the Gemara says, not necessarily lo, kegris ulamala, milamala. No, says the Gemara, it means the gris, but once you get to the gris, that's it. You're going to have to be machmir. Okay. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Tomorrow we finish, God willing, the eighth parak of Masechta Nida and begin the ninth. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Hu Lizach B'Chol Ficha Acher Lam Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Anay Chafetz Amatziko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.